StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups and tech companies. Today, I welcome Stan from Driverama here with us. He is your title is chairman of the board of Driverama, and we'll get soon to how you got to this position and what are you guys doing and how you plan to conquer the world. But first, I'd like to welcome you here, Stan. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, hello. Hi, Joe. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me here.
Completely my pleasure. I've been looking through your LinkedIn profile a little bit, as I do with all of my guests, and I found it pretty interesting because you also spent some time at New Mexico State University, and actually you do have a PhD in psychology. So you're currently not analyzing me, don't you?
Oh yeah, I'm not. Don't worry. I was really passionate about psychology, and actually I still am really passionate about psychology, but my main focus has always been on organizational behavior. That's how we call it. So basically how people behave in organizations, how they behave in the group. So it's like very close to like social psychology and leadership and teams and motivation. So that's where I started. And yeah, as you mentioned, when I was like, well, that was already a long time ago, like 12 years ago, I did spend some time at New Mexico State University. Well, certainly not the most prestigious institution. Nevertheless, I totally loved that place. I love New Mexico State. It's actually, you know, like a really nice place to visit. Fantastic food. And one of the great things about American universities is that when you really want to learn and when you are like really willing to take the most of it, you really can. So fantastic library, amazing teachers, you know, that were willing to really, you know, spend some time with me and basically just help me out to learn as much as possible. Definitely one of the best years of my life.
And from what I've heard in New Mexico, you usually don't need an umbrella and warm socks.
Exactly. I love that. Like, honestly, you know, like blue skies almost every day, you know, like, I really miss that. I really miss that here in Central Europe.
And what surprised me, given your background, that you actually did not go into something like consulting and organizational behavior and strategy and stuff like that, but you ended up in several corporate positions. Can you walk us through a little bit like the highlights? And can you help me to pronounce this one name in the Czech Republic? Brno? How's it pronounced?
Brno. It's B-R-N-O. It's actually just a four-letter city.
Sorry for everybody in Brno. I'm going to visit one day, and I'm sure it's a beautiful city. Sorry for butchering the name.
Yeah, and it's actually very funny city. Like you, like okay, this is going to be like a little spoiler alert for visiting Brno, but there is several phallic symbols in the city that the city got famous for. So like literally when you like Google Brno tourism, there is just like so many things shaped like a part of our body. It's just like a really weird city. Maybe that's the reason why I was just so happy to spend some time abroad. And you said, like actually my path when I, you know, got my PhD, I didn't really end up in the corporate world right away. I did wanted to do business on my own, and I actually launched a fashion brand called Galard, which is still living now, 12, 11 years after I established that. I sold the company actually 3 years after I launched it. It was actually pretty successful step at that time, because I really started from scratch. And as a young guy, it was just amazing to just go through the whole exit process. Just tremendous school that you will never ever get in any basically university. I don't really, there are no really books or courses like, you know, like sell your company 101 or something like that. So that was tremendous experience. And as you can imagine, 3 years of building your own startup from scratch was incredibly challenging. And it was just so interesting to actually try that other world, that corporate world, because I jumped right into like C2 or B2 position in the largest bank in this region, actually heading innovations. So it was definitely very interesting to experience both, like the startup world and like the heavyweight corporate world. And I will definitely elaborate more on basically the Driverama takes the best of both, because we are like fully startup DNA, but with a heavy backing from a big corporation. So it's just really interesting to have the experience from both.
And then you've actually been working in innovation for a bank. And then again, you became a lecturer at the university. How did this go?
Well, look, there's okay. So innovations in bank, like I have to say, that's something that's like super interesting, because look, there's the whole blockchain thing. There, actually, at the time of me being there, the whole idea of basically virtual wallets, payment by cell phone, and all of these things were the main hype. So it was basically like six years ago. So definitely very interesting to be there. But as you can imagine, one of the disadvantages in the bank is that as you are in an extremely regulated world, and despite the fact that everybody craves innovation there, you know, every board member, every investor, they just want to know what's going to be your next step, not to become this kind of an obsolete dinosaur in the financial world, crashed by fintech companies. But as you can imagine, it's, you know, it's just never ending meetings with legal and other divisions in the bank that tend to make even the most exciting projects a little bit boring. So I was just super happy to get to my biggest passion, which is cars. And honestly, like, if anybody likes cars and you will end up working in a car industry, then it's just like your dream becoming true, because, you know, there are just cars everywhere. Even in my position, I really have a chance to pretty much try anything, drive anything. So, you know, I have to say, it is, if you like cars, you know, just do something with cars and you'll be probably happy for the rest of your life.
It is just like the people who like to travel and then they get to work in an airline where they have to travel a lot, right?
Yeah, or if you like to travel and you like become like a travel blogger or something like that. Because honestly, you know, probably being a stewardess will make you a little bit tired of flying after a while. But honestly, if you like cars and you just really drive something else, you know, basically every other month, and basically the whole day you just talk about, you know, cars, and you talk about what you should buy, what you should sell. You know, it's just really better to talk about something that you can imagine, that something you can touch, that has colors, that has accessories, than, you know, talking about the mortgage interest rates and futures.
Mm-hmm. And the fees on international transfers. Yeah, been there. When you're so fascinated with cars, what is the best car ever built?
Wow. Okay, I just really don't want to insult any of the great cars by not mentioning it. oh my God, this is just so, so difficult. I have to say that design-wise, I'm a big Bugatti fan and big LaFerrari fan. But also, I'm a huge fan of just pure 911s. So, you know, maybe to frankly say, which I consider to be the best piece of engineering, it's just like every single version of 911 and it's just getting better and better.
We may add for everybody in the US, he's not referring to some terrorist attacks, but to the Porsche model 911.
Porsche 911. Okay. Porsche 911.
I see. This has a lot of how we say in German, Wumms. So it has a lot of horsepower and a lot of acceleration. I see. So you ended up in automobile in the Czech Republic. And can you help us build the bridge to actually get to Driverama and setting up shop here in Germany?
Yeah. So look, for the last 5 years, I've been heading innovations and growth strategies in RS Holdings, which is a company that is the largest independent used car dealer and chain of used car dealers in continental Europe. We do have over 40 branches, mostly in Czech Republic, Poland, and Slovakia. We trade approximately 80,000 cars on retail market, and that's important point that we are the full like end-to-end retail player. We buy cars from customers, we sell cars to customers, so we are exactly in that field. Like, for example, in the Czech Republic, we have around 97% brand recognition, so there is literally nobody who wouldn't know about who we are and what we do. And it was just really exciting time to be here for the last couple of years, because it has been all about data science. It has been all around like automating processes. So basically being able to scale used car business, because frankly, this is probably something that everybody can imagine. You know, it's actually very easy to buy and sell like one car a month. Like anybody can do that. You can even do like 10 cars a month. And if you're, you know, like really hardworking, maybe you can even just like rent a little place and you can trade, buy and sell 30 cars a month. Well, it becomes tricky if you want to do 1,000 and if you want to do 10,000, because suddenly you need to put processes and you need to put technology in the area where a lot of like this kind of vague and unclear processes and features exist. And now let me clarify. In the used car business, there is one thing very specific, and that is that every single item is unique. So the fact that we bought and sold a million plus cars in the past, it means it has been million plus different items. So it's not like that when you're selling computers, you are selling, I don't know, chocolate bars, you sell 1 million chocolate bars, but it's still the same chocolate bar. No, here, every single car is different, different mileage, different conditions, different accessories, different specs. So suddenly it becomes really complicated if you want to automate that and if you want to scale that. And Aures has been really good with that under the brand of AA Auto in Central European region. And we knew that we can do that also in Western Europe. And for the past couple of years, we did that on a B2B level. So we bought and sold thousands of cars each year. And we knew that already for 2021, we are ready to step in with our retail operations as well. And we are just super excited to see how well the market is responding, how satisfied customers are, and you know what a great opportunity there is within German market and actually within the whole Western European market in used cars buying and selling.
I see logic. It definitely makes sense. to come to Germany if you're talking about cars, because it's the home country of the cars. I did some research up front, and it was more than 133 years when the wife, Bertha, of Carl Benz, made the first car ride from Mannheim to Pforzheim. It was actually August 5th, 1888, and still Germany is the place for cars. And we do have quite a lot of, well, potential competition for you here. There is mobile.de, once owned by eBay and now owned by a Norwegian company. There is they generated something like 13 million visits a month in 2020. Mm-hmm. AutoScout24, owned by US investor Hellman & Friedman. They generate something like 8.4 million visits per month in 2020. And of course, there is the newly minted billionaire-owned Auto One, with their cars, with their used car platform. And so there's a lot going on, including Autodoc, a Berlin-based platform for auto parts, which is reportedly preparing for an IPO. So aren't you afraid a little bit of competition here?
Oh, well, certainly not. And because first, I don't really think of the environment as a competition land. Frankly, look, there is around 8 million used car transactions only in Germany. There are literally like tens of millions of used cars bought and sold in Europe each and every year. From the top of my mind, like Auto Hero or basically Auto One.
We may clarify, Auto One is the company. And their used car brand, what I was referring to, is called Auto Hero.
Yeah, Auto Hero. And for car buying, they have like Wirtschaftsunternehmen Auto.
Which also means for everybody brand. Who's not familiar with German, Wir kaufen ein Auto means we buy your car. And surprise, that's what they actually do.
Exactly. And look, they're doing great job. If I remember, well, their last year numbers is that they traded over 600,000 cars, which is tremendous number. On the other hand, it's still only a fraction of the whole market. And one aspect or one parameter of the European used car market is that it is actually extremely fragmented, which means that there is thousands of players. Actually, in whole Europe, there is over 50,000 dealers that buy and sell used cars. So the market is extremely fragmented. It is matured on a certain level, but frankly, there is just still so much more that can be done better. There is still like big part of this like shady part of the business when you don't really know where you're selling your car and or where you're buying the car from. There is still approximately one third of the market is traded what we call on the street. So it's, well, on one hand, peer-to-peer market is pretty good if you want to sell, I don't know, your, I don't know, the, well, something like used skis or bicycle, but probably with a car, which is the second largest expense that you can have after your house or apartment. Well, to move to organized market is usually the safe choice. So I certainly don't consider that a competition. I rather consider that as a cultivation of the overall market environment. And basically, at the end of the day, it's the customers who benefit, because if you trade car with organized player, with basically a big company, you are having additional guarantees. You are having a certainty that nothing serious can go wrong. Because frankly, it is this peer-to-peer market that on one hand makes you feel that you're going to make extra 500 euros on your car. But the truth is that you can also end up with zero, and whether you're buying a car or selling a car. So I think this is just a great opportunity for each and every company to kind of increase the quality of the cars, of the service. So there is still a lot that can be done in buying and selling used cars, and especially in online world.
What are you referring to is called The Market for Lemons by Akerlof, an economist. And that's actually a pretty cool example of asymmetric information distribution. Everybody who'd like to learn more, I'll link it down here in the show notes, because that's really a problem, because you buy it literally on the street and there's no guarantee. And if there's something wrong with the car, well, you're screwed. That was basically what you've been referring to. So
exactly.
Now we know you're in Germany. It's a big market. There are some competitors here, but they are only having a fraction of the market. And how are you planning to conquer the market?
Yeah. So look, there's several unique value propositions that we are bringing to the market. And probably the first, which I consider the most important, is that we trade cars across different countries, across different markets, and on the retail level. So let me explain what that means. As you can imagine, the same car has different value on different markets and even in a different region. You know, a certain car has a different value in the let's say Bavaria in the mountains, and different value up in north by Hamburg. Mm-hmm. And now imagine what difference you have in the value of the car, whether the car sits in the big German city, or whether it goes to Czech Republic, or whether it goes to Amsterdam, or whether it goes to Spain. So there are massive differences in prices among countries. And it's literally between, well, it can go up to 20 to 30% price difference. And this is exactly where we bring the value to the customers. Because what we do is that when you come to our company that you want to sell the car, at the moment of the inspection, we already compare that given car with each and every market where we operate. So we know where we're going to sell the car already when we are giving you the price. So just to give an idea, you come to our branch in Berlin, and the price of that car on the Berlin market might be 10,000 euros, let's say $10,000, whoever listens and what currency they work with. So let's say 10,000 euros. But this car might have a value of 11,000 euros in Munich or Stuttgart. But this car might have value of 9,000 euros in Vienna, 12,000 euros in Prague, because, for example, in this specs, in that color, in that configuration, there is no such a car available in Prague market. So already at the moment when we are inspecting the car, we know, okay, so people in Berlin would pay 10,000 euros for this car, but people in our Czech market, they would pay 12,000 euros. And maybe people in Spain would pay 13,000 euros. So what we run is called pricing arbitrage. So already at the moment of inspection of the car in Berlin, I'm looking at your car. Anybody else would give you 9,000 cars because they're going to sell it in Berlin for 10,000. But I can give you 11,000 or 12,000 because I know I'm going to sell it, let's say, in Spain. So what I do, I know I'm going to sell it for 13,000 in Spain, so I'm going to have some transportation costs, some logistics costs. I do need to make some margin, but I can still give you the best price because of this cross-border arbitrage. And most importantly, we don't do it by hands. We don't do it manually. What RS as a holding has been developing for years, and now we benefit from that, is this pricing algorithms and extremely sophisticated data science that we use to do that automatically. So I'm looking at your car. I have an application where I input all of the data about the car in a very structured way. And that application, or basically the whole ecosystem of the applications, gives me back the price, what I should buy it for. So then I am not relying on the expertise of the people on the branch, because they can maybe make mistakes, but I'm relying on the millions of data points that I have in the database, because we have already traded million plus cars in the past. So we know exactly what is happening on the market, where is that car desired, and what we should do with that car in order to make profit, but also to give you the best price possible.
So if I get this right, you're actually trying to start a trans-European used car market and using price differences to give the client the best price, which is basically, as you said, price arbitrage.
You put it in a perfect words. That's exactly what we do.
I see. Very interesting approach. So what you guys are currently looking for right now, except for a lot of people who want to sell their used car to you?
Yeah, well, so basically till now, I've been explaining how we source cars, so how we buy cars. Then, of course, there's the whole selling part. Because when selling a used car, our goal has been always to be absolutely obsessed by transparency. So this is something that we are introducing to the market, that really we want our customers to really understand what is going on, what the process looks like, to really understand the car by each and every detail, to really know about each and every scratch, about each and every issue that the car might have in the past. Because this is, I believe, one of the areas that should be cultivated, and that is how transparently you describe product when you sell it online. And this is something where actually e-commerce and online world, I believe, are totally going to disrupt how people buy used cars. Because in the past, you had to rely on basically what you are told by the dealer. Because when you went online, what you saw were just fancy pictures. Of course, everybody would try to just take the best pictures possible and basically to make you fall in love with the car and then come to their branch, where you could realize that the car is not in such a good condition as was described. Well, in online world, it's different. Our motivation isn't to get you to branch. My motivation isn't to just sell you something as fast as possible and to never hear from you. Because first, if I do that, first you will just crash me in online world, and to be honest, online reputation is the most valuable thing we all have. And second, it's the fact that you buy a car online. Of course, you can return the car within a certain period of time. In the case of Driverama, it's that you have a 15-day full money back guarantee. And when I'm saying full, I really mean full. So we give you back each and every cent that you paid on the overall invoice. So for each and every service, if you paid for insurance, for I don't know what kind of upsell, what kind of, if you wanted like extra winter tires, we give you every single cent back. So of course, our motivation is that if you buy the car, you should be 100% satisfied. Because if you're not satisfied, it's going to be my cost and my pain to deal with that. So I believe that actually selling used cars online is really going to disrupt the way they are being sold, because finally customers will be in charge. Actually, finally customers will control the process, and I believe that the most trustworthy players will win. And frankly, that's what I dream in each and every industry, because, you know, I believe that the most trustworthy and the most fair and transparent banks should win, insurance companies should win, food delivery companies should win, and of course, used car buyers and sellers should win.
Driverama, I see. You guys are currently looking for either new employees, meaning you're hiring, or are you guys looking for external investors?
Oh, well, we are mostly looking for great people to join. Frankly, we really are obsessed by getting the best people on board. We're currently heavily recruiting in Germany and Netherlands, and also in our headquarters in Prague. And we are already getting ready for other European countries. So it's so now really, it's all about getting the best people on board, and not just expert wise, but also value wise. But now I mean personal values. Like we really, really are focused on having the people in the team who understand that the whole business is about being fair, being transparent, being fast, being innovative. And if we see that that potentially hiree has this kind of values encoded in his or her DNA, I'm just super happy to get them on board. And I'm actually, I have to say, I'm very happy to see what diversity we're getting to the team. Actually, today I just met the group that will be running the our new branch in Berlin. And I'm super happy to see that we have two ladies who will be in charge of car buying, which is not that that common. And because usually, you know, like car inspection, car repairs are primarily kind of unequal regarding gender preference. And I just met both of them, and it's just really great to see that that we can really, you know, attract the whole variety of people. And as long as they like what we do, as long as they are aligned with our values, I'm just happy to see the company growing.
Sounds pretty good. Only thing left for me actually to say is, love to have you as guest. Best of luck with Driverama in Germany, where you actually headquartered in Munich, as well as for European and world domination plans. And let us know how you guys are doing. Maybe we can do an update sometime down the road.
It will be my pleasure. I will be very happy to share the updates.
Great. Thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.